turn to Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm excited about the new this morning. I love new things. I just do. I love opening boxes that have never been opened before. I love getting new items, probably because I was Mr. In Between at home, and I got all my brother's hand-me-downs. If you ever wanted to know who invented the iron-on patch, it was my mother. Very few people know that Stella Smale invented the iron-on patch, because, man, she used it on everything. She used it on my coat, on my pants. Come on, somebody. How many remember that? You old enough to remember that? And then when the iron-on patches, she couldn't afford the iron, since we didn't have a lot of money, she would find an old pair of pants, didn't matter if it matched or not, and she would sew it on the inside. So you had threads on your pant. Now they'd be cool because people wear ripped pants all the time. But so I love things new. I do. I love the smell of new things. I love the smell of new cars. Don't have one, but I like the smell of it. We were up to Lowe's somewhere around Christmas, and we're looking for a floor lamp. And so we were looking for a deal like we usually do, and we found one, and this lamp had been opened and then reboxed, and they were going to give us $25 off on the lamp. So we said, sold, you know. And so it was a nice lamp. We felt it would fit the living room, our living room there, and got home, opened it up, and it was all broke up. Somebody had taken it and probably busted it and took it back to Lowe's, and so it wasn't so new. So we took it back, and we eventually got a new lamp. But how many know that God's intent is for us to live a new life? I want to do a series this month, and it's called God, All Things New. And today I want to talk about God creates the new. And new is what God is all about. We don't need to be ashamed that we're asking for new, that we want the new. God wants to give us the new. God is not into used. God is not into leftovers. God is not into the same old, same old. That's not my God. If we're in a religious rut and it's just the same old, same old, it's our fault. Because God is always new. His touch in our hearts is always new. There's always some facet of God that impresses us every day if we'll let it. I'm impressed that God puts up with me. How many can say amen? I'm impressed that he still likes me, still shows up. You know, because I can get pretty, ask my wife, she'll tell you. New means bright and fresh. A new song, Jeremiah 31:31 says he'll put a new song in our mouth. Psalm 65:11 says, you crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. So God crowns. God's intent for every year is for us to have the best year ever. And lest we wake up and it's 2017, let us grasp quickly what God is about to do this year. I believe that this is the greatest year that we'll ever live. I believe that. I believe we'll see things this year that we've never seen before, and sense things and hear things from God, because if we stop expecting those things, we lose our identity. See, if the nature of God is always new, inside of us is a longing for the new and the challenging. If His nature is new, if what He does is new, we are going to grasp it, we're going to grip it, we're going to get a hold of it, and we're going to make it work for us. Because God's intent that not only is new a noun, new is a verb. We do new things because we're new. Ezekiel 11:19. Turn there with me. Ezekiel 11:19. This Old Testament word commonly translated new is chadash. It means bright and fresh. Special interest was shown in an importance attached to fresh and new things and events. So Ezekiel 11:19 says, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh." God's intent is to give us new things. And He makes a new covenant with us. This new covenant that you and I are under, there's not a newer covenant coming. There is not a 2016 special just for you. New and improved covenant. How many know we are living under the covenant, the only one that will ever exist? And God makes it new all the time. Why? Because His nature is new. He not only gives us a new song and a new covenant, but Ezekiel 36:26, if you'll just flip over there, watch what He says. Ezekiel 36:26. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Now that's in a constant state of change in our heart, but it's always new, see? We are getting closer to God every day. Hopefully we're being sanctified every day. We're being processed every day. But there's a new thing that God is doing in our heart. And new is used throughout the Word of God. In the New Testament, a new spirit, let me finish this. This has the idea as a new covenant, one that is began by God, sustained by God. This is in the sense of new meaning, completely and eternally changed and in a state of consistent newness. That means there's not an old, there's not a lag time, there's not a, "I was saved years ago, I was saved months ago, I was saved." No, you're saved all the time, you're brand new creation in God all the time, because His nature is to make things new. There's no old rusty stuff in me, I'm new all the time. I don't know how He does it, but you try to explain air. Somebody explain air to me. Come on, somebody. Are you there? You can't, there's lots of things you can't explain about creation. But one thing you've got to get a hold of this morning, I want you to get a hold of this new thing, because God is always doing something new. His nature is never to repeat anything. Come on, somebody. He's not repetitive. He's consistently creative. Now, there are things that will never change about this. Come on, God's He changes not. His character is non-changing. But His approach towards us is always new. And He makes us in a constant state of newness. The New Testament. New is konios. New, fresh, newly made. Somebody say newly made.
Newly made.
Newly made today. New Testament. The very word New Testament says the word new. This is a New Testament that we're living under. Not something that came about on the 30 AD after Christ was born. It's not something that happened in 100 AD when the Bible was finished. It's a New Testament that's forever. It's eternal. It's ageless. The old covenant people grabbed a hold of David, Joseph, others, the three children of Israel, grabbed a hold of this new covenant, this new thing, because Christ is always the center of it. New Testament, new covenant. Luke 22:20, Jesus said it, "This is the new covenant in my blood." It's efficacious. It covers all things. It takes care of all things. It eradicates sin. It's taken care of. It makes all things new. And we're going to see at the end of it all, when God is sitting on His throne, He said, "Behold, I make all things new." So this celebration of a new year is not just an excuse to throw things and watch parades. or turn the calendar or learn how to write 16. I apologize to Cindy already. My check says 2015-16. I'll get it after a month or so. But how many know there's a new thing that God is doing? There's a new thing. It's all new today with Him. Oh, come on, children. Oh, we need to praise Him for that. He's faithful. He's faithful. Nobody else can do it like He did. Man, I'm looking for the common. I'm looking for I like routines. I'm pretty boring when it comes to routines. I don't like anything out of place. I like things just the way they are. Every morning, get up, have coffee, have devotions. I like my day ordered. How many are like that? But God does new things, see? He speaks new things to us. He's about building His kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And I challenge you to look up that word new and look what it says, because it's in a constant state of newness. Somebody said, you know, God changed my life 25 years ago when I asked Him into my heart. My first question that I think about, I've got to bite my tongue, is what did He do for you a minute ago? What's He doing for you right now? Come on, somebody. God's constantly working on our behalf so we'll look more like Him. He's constantly working on our behalf. Acts 17:21, a new thing. Romans 6:4, newness of life. Turn there, Romans chapter 6. Let's look at this. Let's get this new thing into our spirit. Romans 6. Could I have that light up, somebody? Could I have this light up here on so I could see? Thank you so much. I'll get there. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Underline, newness of life. What's that mean? It means you're in a constant state of new. There's nothing old about anything that God is doing. This New Testament new is kainos, and it's new, fresh, newly made. It's an important word. New Testament, new covenant. We have a new covenant with Him. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Galatians 6:15. New man. This newness that's talked about, we walk in newness of life. Verse 5 says, in Romans 6:5, it says, for we have been united together in the likeness of His death. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Praise God. Not only is He doing new things, but I'm free from sin. He made me Teflon. Nothing sticks to me, pal. I'm brand new. Come on, somebody. All things new. See, we have a chance. The calendar is turned. We have a chance to kind of focus on this, and we're going to. It's tremendous what the Word of God says about new and what God is into new. And I find that what I like new things, I'm being like my daddy. He loves new things. There's no taped boxes in His kingdom. Nothing's sent back. Nothing is regurgitated. Nothing is redone again. Retreaded again. He's in the new. Behold, I make all things new. His touch is always fresh. His touch is always new. Romans 7. Turn over to Romans 7:6. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 7, verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Oh, what a dry, dry life it must be to live by the letter of the Word. If we just live by the Ten Commandments, if we try to live a holy life without a relationship, oh, what a dry, raisin-type life that we must live. But God is always new. He's always speaking. He's always involved. So in God's economy and after the cross, all things are made new. All things in His kingdom are just as fresh and new as they are in heaven. The reason why we pray the model prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, it's one thing to walk in new, and we're going to get there by the end of the month, but we should affect everything around us with new. Come on, somebody. People need to hope again. People need to see again. Look into the eyes of God again. We've forgotten that in our society. We've forgotten that in our generation. But we are new creations, and we permeate new. We exude the new. If this, what I'm talking about, is true, and I believe the Word supports this, then we have opportunity to walk in this newness spoken of. And I believe it will give us success. Winning souls, changing lives, influencing people, influencing areas, influencing this government or what's left of it. A positive mental state is needed in these days. God's in the new. God's in the new. This does not mean that we stop growing and changing. It does mean that we are to consider the days of the Lord and His mercy to allow us to grow more like Him. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." How should we align ourselves with this truth? Believe the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. We get to get a new name when we get there. Revelation 2:17, He says He'll give us a new name. Woo! Don't be too attached to your name. He's going to give you a new one. A new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter 3:13, He says, "What manner should we be, seeing that everything we do will be, everything we see will be burned with fire? And we await a new heaven and a new earth." Not only that, but a new Jerusalem, a new capital of the world is available for us. And Revelation 5:9 is a new song. A positive, faith-filled attitude is absolutely essential in this hour. God is looking for His children to respond into the newness with new things. When I was a little kid, we used to say, you know, the prayer at around the table, you know, that prayer that we memorized. "Heavenly Father, we thank You for this food and all the blessings of life. In Jesus' name, amen." God doesn't want us just to pray old, stale prayers. God is looking for a conversation with us again. Come on, somebody. Setting aside some time again. Reintroducing ourselves. We may have gotten stale. I'm not accusing, I'm not pointing fingers. I don't know anything about what your private personal life is. That's your business between you and God. But has it become stale? Has it become predictable? Then I would encourage you to look again at the God that you're meeting with. Because He's anything but predictable. He is a God of surprise. Somebody say amen. He is a God of surprise. He's always surprising me. It's absolutely essential that we have a positive, faith-filled life. Never stop changing and growing. It's important. Revelation 2:15, 21:5 says, "Then He who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said to me," or to me, "'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" He wanted to emphasize what He was showing the apostle on the Isle of Patmos. And He said, "I make all things new." Now, I'm writing this, I'm John, and I'm writing this, and I've just been boiled in oil. I've just been thrown onto an island that was meant for criminals to die. And I hear the Lord say, "Behold, I make all things new." Oh, Jesus. What that must have meant was water to a thirsty soul. Being in the new is so very important for you. I want to encourage you. This is the time to make new resolutions. Not resolutions because it's a popular thing to do. I want to make a New Year's resolution. No, forget all that. But to make new commitments to Christ. Commitments to live your life like you intend, like you want it to be. Live your life like you intend it always to do. You have the power to do that. That means getting rid of things. That means readjusting your life, rescheduling your time. But God will never let you down if it's Him that you're going to seek. So here are some thoughts. Number one, rebuke sadness and fear. It has no place in the Christian. How can we be sad? Look at somebody and say, stop being sad. Come on. How can we be sad? Heaven is our destination. Come on, somebody. Are you there? It's like going on vacation with the kids. Especially kids that forgot to bathe. You know, you're driving down the road. You can't wait to get to the destination. Get out of the stuffy, stinky car. And nothing will make you angry. Because you know the destination's going to be the beach. Or the mountains or wherever you're going. Man, our destination, you and I. Oh, glory to God. Oh, the beauty that awaits us. The wonderful, wonderful beauty that awaits us. The wonderful beauty of God. His face we'll see. Face to face we'll see Jesus. Finally. See Him, walk with Him, talk with Him. See all the glories of heaven. When you start getting sad or when you start getting fearful, rebuke it in Jesus' name. What's the worst that can happen? You die. But you don't really die. You just go to another place. Come on, somebody. Oh, we get so fearful. We have conversations. What happens if they come and bomb our country, man? What happens if ISIS takes... Well, what's the worst thing? A little bit of pain and boom. You're in glory. And you have no memory of what happened painful-wise. Because you're going to see Jesus face to face. Hallelujah! Man, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Anybody ever read that book? You better learn how to pray before you start reading that one. And those guys threw parties before they died. Invited people. John Huss invited people, sent invitations, said, come, I'm marrying Jesus today. Burned at the stake. We've got to get a vision of heaven. Rebuke sadness and fear. Stop it. I just want to tell people, just stop it. Don't get all fearful. Stop reading things. Stop doing things that cause you fear and anxiety. It's not sticking our hand in the head in the sand. It's sticking our head in the glory clouds. We're very aware of what's happening. This thing is supposed to fall apart. It was designed that way. It was designed to fall apart. However that flesh is out, it was designed to stop and fall apart. But God's kingdom is forever going forward. He's making all things new. Walk in newness of life. Obey the scriptures. Be fresh. Walk in newness of life with the Lord. Stay fresh. Stay on time. Stay in the things of God. Live your life and know what God is saying at every point. You say, well, that's impossible. No, it's not. You can know what God is saying to you all the time at every moment. Listen, if God is shutting off communication, we got a problem number one. Anybody that has philosophy or theory or anything like that that says that God is not communicating every time with His children, it would be like me stopping talking to my children. My children could call me and talk to me anytime. Or my wife. God's always speaking to us. Always. He loves us. Stop putting characteristics of people onto God. God is not people. God is God. He's not frustrated. He's not angry. He's not upset for what you did last night. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people? Oh, well, God's a little put off with me today. No, He's not. He loves you. God's punished me. He's got His phone on silent. Come on, someone. That's ridiculous. That's the devil. That's the enemy trying to keep you away from God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do it. Get it together. Believe His word. He is the God of the new. Not only walk, you walk in newness, but believe what He says. He's new. He's not old. He's not doing old things. He's not doing reruns. He's not tired and say, let's repeat yesterday. Just put everything on repeat. What a fascinating, fascinating creation we live in. If God would just talk to us about a grub worm, we should get excited. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine? Come on, somebody. Can you imagine His creation? He just wants to let us know. He just wants to talk with us. He just wants to commune with us. He says, I am a God of the new. Approach everything that you are involved with as new. You're married, keep your marriage fresh. I don't care how long you've been married. We're getting there. 38 years. Our marriage is fresh. We work on it all the time. Keep your relationships. If you're not married, keep your relationships fresh. Especially with God, but with one another and family. Keep it strong. Look at everything as new. Praise God. Every day I've got a new bride. Because we keep it new. Come on, someone. Family. Keep family close. Keep family new. Just spent 4 days with the family. Somebody said after 3 days, family and fish began to stink. Anybody hear that? I thought that was funny. But my grandkids don't stink. I love them. I love them. And it's always new with them. Because they're always changing. They're in that growth, you know. They're in that growth stage. My grandson climbed up on my lap, looked at my face, and he says, Pop, Pop, you're old. I can't argue with you there. You're 7, I'm 62. Yeah, I'm old to you. Keep things new in your life. Keep your job and your career. Keep it fresh, keep it new. How can you influence people you work with? Number one, pray for them. Come on, somebody. Make them part of your prayer life. Ask God for conversations that'll blow their minds. Ask God for situations you'll be able to speak into their life. Maybe it's only a small thing, but pray. Pray over where they sit. Pray over where they stand beside you. Come on. If revival's going to start, it might start in your workplace. Someone said, well, my work, the people I work with, they've seen me make mistakes. They've seen me act not so Christian-like. So? What, are you going to give up? Nope. You wimp? Come on. Get up and do it again. Today's a new day. Come on, somebody. People will appreciate you for being honest. Yes. And saying, you know what? I really messed up. Can you forgive me? Come on, somebody. Get back up on that horse. It'll work. Social standing. When you're out in public, do things that you know are going to be right. Actually obey the speed limit. Stop at stop signs. I was leaving work the other day, leaving here, and got out to 31. There was no traffic anywhere, and so I just sailed right through the stop sign. I have to confess my sin. And I making a left to go up to 6th Street there. And, police officer stopped me. He said, do you know what you did? And I said, yeah, I blew through the stop sign. I'm so sorry. So I got a warning. I didn't get a ticket. Got a warning. Didn't break my record. 1986, last ticket I got. I almost got one the other day. But you know how to act in public. Do it. And this is for people that spend, there's probably people here that spend hours and hours and hours on social networks. Man, act like a Christian, even when you don't think anybody's comments that you want to make, you want to blow steam, that's the worst place to blow steam. Because you blow steam and then you go to witness somebody and they go back, all the way back. They've saved it somewhere. Well, you blew steam here and now you're... Come on, somebody. Let's use our brains. God is the God of the new. So we act like new creations around people. We don't get involved in things that are ungodly. Keep serving God new. Man, if you don't have anything else, if you say, man, I'm bored, start praying for revival. Make a list. Pray for the things. Pray against abortion. Pray against this terrorism that's gone globally. Come on, pray against the enemy infiltrating our young people. You'll be anything but bored. We could use some volunteers here at New Life. We could use things. We need people to volunteer. You say, well, I'm bored. Man, we'll make you. And the worst thing that my kids used to say to me, you never wanted to say to me, I'm bored. I'd change that right away. To this day, my children won't say I'm bored. God is not anything but boring. It's fascinating. It's fascinating what he does. Someone is going to influence every environment you are in. Why not you? Why don't you be the one to influence your environment? Why wait for somebody to come in with a bad attitude and start cussing and throwing things, and all of a sudden everybody's tense, everybody's concerned, everybody's angry? Why not come in prayed up and ready to influence a generation? That's our job. That's our calling. See, we're not just part-time Christians. We're not people that are Christian Sundays and Wednesdays, and the other time we're the silent. We're active duty 4 hours a week, and the rest of the 164 hours, we're on the list. If you need me, God, call me. I'm wearing the beeper. If you need me, call me. Come on, somebody. You're Christian 24/7. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have become new. In a constant state of newness. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people this morning? Some quotes. All of God's people are ordinary people who have been made extraordinary by the purpose He has given them. Oswald Chambers said. You're an extraordinary person. Turn to somebody and say, you're pretty extraordinary. Say, man, I don't feel extraordinary. I don't have the right temperament for this. I don't have the right education for this. I don't have the right background for this. I can't speak. I can't do things. Listen, you are extraordinary in God's sight. And there's a purpose that He has for you. Are you there? I had somebody in our church in Philadelphia. Her name was Millie Pisano. And Millie was one of the strangest people you ever want to meet. She just was. She was just strange. She had idiosyncrasies that would drive me up the wall. But she had a love for people. She had a love for people, man. And she loved the down and outers. People that nobody would approach, she'd sit right down beside. I was out jogging one morning and there ran past the 7-Eleven there on Broad Street in Philadelphia. And there sat Millie beside two guys. You could smell them a half a block away. Homeless people. And there sat Millie with three cups of hot coffee and donuts. Talking to them like they were the most important people in the world. I ran by her, stopped and said, hi, Millie. She said, hi, and went back to the conversation. I wasn't important, they were. That spoke to me. See, you are important to God. You'll touch people that nobody else can touch. Why do you think God put you where you're at in the first place? The strangest situations are God-made. Why is this person in my life? Well, duh, because God wants to reach them. Come on, somebody. Adrian Rogers says, the same Jesus who turned water into wine can transform your home, your life, your family, and your future. He is still in the miracle working business, and His business is the business of transformation. He is still in the miracle working business, and His business is the business of transformation. Now, there are people here today that are already saying, it's too late for me, I can't change, I've done this too long, and I'm telling you that today's your day to be transformed. Today's your day to get off the merry-go-round. You've been around the mountain so much you could lead a tour. But God wants to break you free this morning. God's the God of the new. You show me one situation that's impossible for God. He revels in impossibilities. I'm speaking to someone this morning. You say that it's impossible. You say, I'm too far gone. I just can't do it. I've played the game. I've fooled people. People think that I'm one person and I can never go back because I'd lose it. No, forget about all of that. God wants to give you newness of life. See? And He wants to transform. That's what He does. And He's so patient. God's so patient. He's been dealing with you now for 5 years. I'm talking to somebody. He's been dealing with you for 5 years. You thought you'd die 5 years ago. God wants to touch you this morning. God wants to touch you this morning. He's waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And He'll wait some more. You're living on God time. You're living on borrowed time. You're living on creation time. You're living on eternal time. And all the things that you're laying up in heaven, which are very few right now because you don't even think that you are worthy. Let me tell you what. God thinks you're worthy. He is a transforming God. C.S. Lewis said, God became a man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. You heard about the sci-fi super race? Look around. We it. Man, we got the power of heaven behind us. What other power do you need? Come on. Forget the lightsaber. I've got the life saver. Come on. There is only one good side. It's the side of Jesus. He called you. He wants to make new kinds of people. That's why He made you and I. The way we are. I'm okay. God is working on me. I've already been fixed. Turn to somebody and say, I've already been fixed. Warren Wiersbe, I want to close with this. Then I want to spend some time. I'm going to invite you up to the altar because we're going to make some declarations this morning. We're going to make some declarations that we're going to make this year count. We're going to do new things. People are going to be amazed. People are going to walk up to you and say, man, I've never seen you look like that. What's going on with you? Man, I'm moving in God. I'm a new creation. Watch what it says. Nothing paralyzes our lives like the attitude that things can never change. We need to remind ourselves that God can change things. Outlook determines outcome. If we only see the problems, we will be defeated. But if we see the possibilities in the problems, we have the victory. Yeah, we got problems. Join the crowd. Man, I don't like some of the things that I see in me. Come on, somebody. I'm totally committed to seeing Him change. Why? Because I know that whatever I ask of God, He does. Because it's to His advantage that I change. If I stay the same, I'm going to be a detriment to the kingdom. If I backslide, I'm going to be the detriment to the kingdom. But if I pray, God, make me a better person, help me to improve this in my life, my financial situation, my physical situation, my mental situation, my spiritual situation, whatever it is, God, make me a better person, help me to be a better person. God says, I'm into that. I'm into that. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Whatever you need, here it is. All of heaven is open for you. This is a good day to be selfish. You're not coming up for prayer for somebody else. I want to pray for my Uncle Nelly or my Uncle Sam in California. No, we're not praying for somebody else. We're making a commitment ourselves today. Today's the day. I know calendar says it's the third, but let's make believe it's the first day. And we're making a commitment. This year is going to be different. I'm going to suck all the marrow out of 2016 that it has. I'm going to live life to the fullest. Praise God. Come on, somebody. Could I have somebody come up and play? Somebody come up and play. And I want you to come. We're making a commitment this morning. We're making a commitment to walk in newness of life. Come on. Come. Please. Making a commitment this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We make a commitment to you, Lord. Lord, we make a commitment to you that all things are new. All things are new. Turn to somebody and say, all things will become new. All things are new. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what's going to happen is when I pray for you, we're coming into an agreement. You don't need to give me a long laundry list. We're just going to come into an agreement. The Bible says this, wherever two or three agree is touching any one thing, it will come to pass. So there's things that you're going to leave here. There's things that you're going to take away from here this morning. Today's a new day. Let's worship the Lord.